Well, I'm kind of excited to start this series. And we did a little bit. I was starting in on the New Creation series, and I thought, well, I just want to wait a little bit longer. I touched on a couple of them, and they were really, really good, and I just wanted to keep running with them. But I want some new, because I just feel like I'm going to keep repeating the same things to you guys that you already know. And we know this, but I want to take it a little more than maybe where we'd done it the last time. So if you want to pass those out for me. I forgot I had one already. King of kings, Lord of lords. Who are we? We're a king and we're a lord, right? Because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. So that makes us a king and a lord. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 14. It says, I press toward, Paul is saying, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what we're doing. This is what we do on a daily basis, really, when you think about it. We're pressing toward a goal for a prize. There's an upward call in God that's in Christ Jesus, and that's who we are in. As we look at this in Strong's, the word high means opposite, instead of, because of. Now think about that. We're pressing towards a high upward call. It's something that is opposite or instead of the fall of humankind. This is where we're pressing and for the goal of something that is instead of the fall, that is opposite of the fall. And the word call, which is the call of God in Christ Jesus, is an invitation. That word means an invitation. So God has given us an open invitation into Christ. And we've covered on that several times. The kainos being is that place in who we are, that when we touched on the three realms below, above, the glory realm, the place of the glory realm is that place of being, that kainos being in Christ. Christ is not his last name. So it's who you are. It's who he is now. When he was Jesus of Nazareth walking the earth, he wasn't Jesus the Christ yet. But when he laid down his life, rose again, resurrection power, transfigured, transformed him, and now he is Jesus the Christ. And when we come into him and we are that new creation being in him, that kainos being in him, now we are like Christ. If we really knew who we were, we are now in Christ. We are created in his image, in his likeness, just like him. He said that he was first of the brethren to have resurrection power, transform and transfigure him into this position of being in Christ. It's that glory that he had before the foundations of the world. And I'm giving you a synopsis of what all this is about here, but we'll move on. But God has given us an open call into this. And this is who we are now. It's to that place in Christ, the glory. So I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. I always try to back this up. You guys know them all, but in case somebody is to hear this and doesn't know, I want to release it. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, or among those that who are not of the Jewish nation, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now within you, you are a new creation, a kainos being, and you have Christ within you. Like I said before, your spirit man is here. That is your Christ likeness, that kainos being person. This is your soul realm, and this is your physical body. So we are actually triune beings, body, soul, spirit, and your spirit is where Christ is, or where that kainos being is, who is like Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are a new creation being. That new mean kainos means something that's never been seen before. It's something that happened at the finished work of the cross. Jesus was the first to go and become that. Colossians 1:27 now says, that is the mystery, which is Christ in you. Romans 9:23. Paul was, or they think it's Paul that wrote Romans, but anyhow, says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory. before the foundations of the world, he predestined that you would be filled with his glory, his nature, his likeness. And we'll touch on it in here a little bit. In John 17, though, he said he asked the Father to give him back, to restore back to him the glory he had before the foundations of the world. And then he went on to say in John 17, 22, that he said, and this same glory, which is Christ, he says, I now give to you. So we are now Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ likeness. We're supposed to look just like him and be just like him. Christ in the world. 1 Thessalonians, well, it said 24. I'm going to read 24. Even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So it includes us all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 says that you would walk worthy of God who calls you. There's that word calls again. He's given you an open invitation into it, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He has given you an open invitation into this upward high call, which is totally opposite of the fall. So it's not even going to, it's something instead of. So when he come in and he died at the cross, rose again, you know, he became that new creation being himself. He became a Christ creation, a new being, a kainos being, something that's totally different. Now we can be totally different, totally new, something that's never been seen before, totally opposite of what Adam was. We're not going back to Adam. We're returning back to the glory that Christ had before the foundations of the world. And in John 17, he said he gave us that glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. One more chapter over. 13 and 14 says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved, by the Lord, because God from the beginning, there it is, from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, verse 14, to which he called you, there's that open invitation, by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. I mean, that seals it. Shouldn't be any questions about it. It is a radical shift from an earthly perspective. If we truly got everything that I just was saying about us, if we truly, and I'm talking about me too, I am praying, God, help me open my mind, open my heart. Actually, it's a changing of a mindset. It's actually to quit living from here, controlled by here, by our flesh, man, and to live here, be seated here in Christ, in our spirit, in that place of where we're eating from the tree of life again, no longer partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because that keeps us rooted in our living from below. We touched on where Jesus said, I'm from above and you're from below. He's talking about I live from the spirit. He lives from that Christ place. He said, when he says you're from below, you're living from your soul realm, from your body of your flesh, from those old mindsets. So if we could get those old mindsets renewed, and that's why Paul said in Romans 12, 22, he says, I beseech you to be renewed and have your mind conformed and renewed and transfigured. There's a metamorphosis that will happen. So that's my heart's cry. And the more that I am pushing through this and making my conscious mind receive the truth, and I'm changing that old man, there is that culturing process that's happening, as I've explained. And the more I meditate on it, the more I dwell on it, the more I think upon it, the more I make that be my thought life instead of the other, then I'm allowing that transformation, conforming process to happen in me. So it's a radical shift from this earthly perspective or that earthbound old mindset into a heavenly one, which is high, which is opposite, which is instead of. Christ Jesus came to restore us back to that state of origin. That was the purpose for him to come. When he came and gave himself on the cross, and you receive Christ into your heart, and you receive salvation, it wasn't your ticket to heaven. It was to seat you in him. It was to seat you in Christ, and it was to give you heaven. Now, religion taught us that that's in the sweet by and by, and when we die, we'll get it. If that's the case, then death is your salvation. But actually, Jesus is your salvation. Christ is your salvation, and you are in heaven now. And that's where we miss it. It's not that I'm going to be a king and a lord when I die and go to heaven. We are a king and we're a lord right now. We're a new creation, a kainos being right now. And so this is where the transformation and the conforming process needs to take place in our mind. Well, I point at my brain, but it's not really your brain. It's in your heart. It's in your soul and in your physical body being conformed to the transformation of your heart, which is where your mind, will, and emotions dwell. And you have the conscious and subconscious and all that, and we're not going to go into all that. So it's, eventually we're going to go into that again, but not right now. Christ Jesus came to restore us back to that state of origin from which humankind fell, from the glory. And there's a few scriptures. I'll just touch on Ephesians 1:4. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So it was before the foundations of the world that he found us in him. He chose us to be in him from the foundations of the world. This is what we were created for, to live from his glory, in that place of fellowship and delight. The word Eden, when he says that he created man and he placed him in Eden, he created a place for him to be, and Eden means delight. So he created a place of delight for man to be in. Humankind was placed in Eden, in delight. So he's returning us back. Actually, we're not returning back to Adam, because Jesus came and replaced Adam. That's why it meant the word high, something high above, it's instead of. Jesus came and he didn't come to restore us. He came to replace what happened, what went wrong. So he came back, but he will still take us back to, that will take us back to that place of Eden. So we're not returning back to be like Adam. We are recreated into a brand new image. That's what kainos means, to be like Christ now, and that will restore us back to Eden, that place of delight in him. Our original call was to bring heaven to earth. That's the purpose. That was the assignment of mankind. That was written upon their scroll, to bring heaven to earth, to establish, to subdue, to reign over, to have dominion over as kings and as priests. Revelations 5:10, turn over there. It says, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That isn't like R-A-I-N, but R-E-I-G-N. Reign as kings, as lords, as priests upon the earth. Now, when you read that, you're like, wait a minute, that's in Revelation, so that's for the future. No. The word revelation means, is the word apocalypse. Apocalypse means the revealing of Christ. The revealing, because it's called, it's titled the revelation of Christ. The revealing, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's the apocalypse, or the appearing, or the revealing, or the unveiling of Christ. Who's Christ? Who's in Christ? We are. So it's the unveiling of Christ in us. So we are called to reign on the earth. It's not for some future date. That's religion. Religion's always putting it off into the future. It's always something that is going to happen sometime down in the future. It's, you always have to wait for it. That's religion. Wait. It's now. We're the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right now. Revelation 19, verse 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he is a king, and if he is a lord, he says he is king of what? Kings. He isn't a king of beggars, is he? He isn't a king of distraught, people that are distraught. He isn't a king or a lord over those who are begging for bread that are, you know, he is a king of kings and a lord of lords. That's who we are. We have to change how we perceive ourselves, our identity. He is not a king of beggars, we got to remember that, of peasants or whatever you want to call it. He's a king of kings and a king of lords. It means to, we have come to establish, we are to fill the earth. This is what we were called. This is what our original call was to fill or establish the earth with what? The glory. Establish it with the glory. Let's go look at Numbers 14, verse 21. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So if the earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord, you think, well, how is that going to happen, that the earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord? Well, because there's going to be a whole bunch of kings and lords and priests walking around that are the manifestation of the glory of the Lord, because Christ in you is the manifest glory of the Lord. And when Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your glory has come, and then you go on and read on in that Isaiah 60, if you read the whole chapter, you will see how you are going to be the glory, and all of the earth is going to come to you because they see something in you. So it's going to be something that's going to be seen. And it's our place to establish that glory in the earth. And if we live right here in little old Enid, Oklahoma, or wherever we live, Garber or Hills there or wherever, we're to establish the glory in our communities, in our homes. First of all, we start with us. That's where we just start. Establish the glory. Allow the glory to be established in you, in your family, in your home, before you start trying to go out and establish it in the earth, you know. And because as we do that, then we're able to become more like Paul when he walked through the crowds. That it says his shadow fell on the people and they were healed. It wasn't a physical shadow. It was the glory, manifested glory of the Lord falling on them. All right, let's look at Isaiah 6, 3. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3 says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth. Isaiah 61, I think I just said that one. Arise, shine, for his light has come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon you. It has arise. That word risen or arise means to wake up. So just wake up to the fact that the glory of the Lord is within you, upon you. The world itself, all of creation is crying out, it says in Romans 8, waiting for the manifestation and the unveiling of the what? Sons of God. That isn't a gender, that's a position, that's a place, a position of what? Being in Christ. All of creation itself is awaiting for that unveiling. Awaken. Awaken to who you truly are. You are a Lord, you're a King, and you carry the glory of the Lord. He gave it to you, he said in John 17, 22. Ephesians 1, 18. That's a very familiar voice, yeah. It is a voice, actually. Verse 118. The eyes of your understanding, Paul's praying, that the eyes of your understanding will what? Be enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope of his calling. There's that call. There's an open invitation. Don't say that God never invited, you didn't ever feel like you could come to God. I've heard people actually say that. They didn't feel like they could come to God. There is an open invitation to come and to be a part of this. And he says, I want you to understand, I pray that you would know the hope of this calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in who? The saints, you and me. The riches of the glory, which is in you. That is amazing. Notice he didn't pray that the Father would give them that. He prayed that we would be enlightened, awakened to know, because we already have it is why. He didn't pray that we would get it. Why? Because we already have it. We are now a new creation. You are now a Lord. You are now a King right now. Right now, the glory of Christ, which Christ Jesus asked after the finished work of the earth, he asked the Father to restore that glory from the foundation of the world, and he gave it to us. It's in us right now. So Paul didn't pray that we would get it or that God would give it to us. He prayed that we would awaken, that we'd be enlightened to know that we have it. God, wake us up. Renew. That's part of the renewing of the mind, is awakening. Subdue is another part of the original call upon our lives, to subdue. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. He gave us dominion over the earth, full dominion. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the lands of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. It is our place to subdue and have dominion. The reason Christ came back, or the reason Christ came and fulfilled the work of the cross, is that he returned that dominion. He returned that for us to come and be positioned in Christ In other words, he put us back in the family of God because the fall removed us from that, removed us from our royalty, removed us from that place of being a part of the family of God. He brought us back into citizenship, brought us back into royalty, brought us back into the family of God. Now we are royal kings, priests, lords, and now we can have dominion and we can subdue the earth again, establish his glory in the earth, rule and reign. It is our place to fill the earth and subdue it, fill it with the glory of the Lord and subdue it, bring it into subjection. That which is under the dominion and or rule of, that's what subjection means. It needs to be under the dominion or rule of. Dominion means rule, reign, the power or right of governing. What is the word ecclesia, which is who we are, we're the body, the ecclesia. That means a governing body. You are lords, kings, priests. We are to govern and rule and reign. So it's the power or right of governing or sovereign authority. Think of how powerful we really are and how much your word has meaning. If we could just see ourselves as, when you see yourself as a king and a lord, you're seated, you can look at your, like I say, this is your kingdom. Every physical body here, sitting here, is a kingdom, is a dominion, is a realm, and this is your kingdom, and actually you're a triune realm, spirit, soul, and body. You know, if we really grasp the mystery of who we are, created in his likeness, and then we when we realize that we're seated above in that kainos being place, and then we can rule and reign over this, even this physical body. This physical body is an earthen vessel, the word says. And when the earth is crying out for the revealing of sonship, your body itself is crying out for you to be seated in sonship and for you to rule and reign over it. Because otherwise, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, all these things, the physical body will experience whatever. God created our bodies to live forever. And they can heal themselves. But the body and the soul is ruling and reigning, and therefore sickness and disease will rule and reign, and death, and actually death is sickness and disease. So as we, our body's crying out for the revealing of sonship, for us to rule and reign over our physical bodies. So as we practice ruling and reigning over this physical body, sit down as a king and lord and make some decrees. If we understand, and it's hard for the Western world to understand this because we are not in a monarchy. We're a different type of government. But if we look at it from a governmental position, a monarchy position, for a king, and we decide we're going to rule and reign over this body, and a king releases a decree, it's like a law being released, there's nobody that can break that. And he has a full army that carries it out. The king, he or she. Actually, it's not gender because the word says in Galatians there's neither male nor female in the kingdom of heaven. So release some decrees. That's why we're so big about decrees and declarations. Set yourself in your throne above, in your kainos being place in Christ, and start decreeing over your body if you're struggling with any type of diseases or sickness, and release those. And who's your army? I say it over and over. Who's your army? The host of heaven. When they're sitting there waiting, you have a whole warring army waiting for you to release a decree. And when you release it, they will grab that word. And the word says it will not return to him, to the Father, void, but will accomplish whereunto it has been sent. So you release a decree over your physical being, which is another realm, and you are king over three realms. So release a decree over the earthen realm of who you are, and speak health and wholeness. I do this all the time. And then my mind, because the old mindset, the old nature wants to rise up and fight against it. And Paul says, I'm constantly warring back and forth against my spirit, my soul, and all this. So we see the paradox that happens. But just start doing it. And the more we do it, and the more consistent, before we know it, we're going to find ourselves 2 or 3 years down the road, further matured in him than if we was to sit there and say, this, I don't want to do it, because it just is going to, you know. Don't make excuses. Just do it. And we'll find ourselves more mature as we do it. Growing, awakening more. It sounds too simple, doesn't it? Religion makes it complicated and unattainable. And the word itself says the gospel is so simple that we can miss it. So we just start doing it. And the world is going to release decrees and declarations against you that are not in line with who you are in him as a new creation being. You're healthy, you're whole, you're full of life. So you better release some decrees. and declarations over your physical body because the world's releasing the wrong ones. So which ones do you want to align yourself with? All right, let's move on. Paul said, "One thing I do, I press on toward the goal, this high calling of lordship in Christ and living from this place in glory." I want to live from that place. I don't want to live from the fallen nature. Because the high calling is to be opposite of that fallen nature. I don't want to live out of my that fallen nature. And actually, when Jesus Christ came, he and died and rose again. And when we ask him in our life, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said the old nature has passed away. It passed away with him. So why do we want to resurrect the old man? Leave him dead and buried. He's buried in Christ. And let's live out of that risen nature with this, which is the kainos being, where we're seated in him in heavenly places, and get this mindset renewed and make it align itself. That's part of establishing the glory. That's part of subduing. That's part of having dominion. We better learn and practice on this realm, these physical realms, dimensions, before we can start doing it in the world. Let's go to Psalms 24. Psalms 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." I want you to see something here. First of all, it said, you know, we're talking about lordship, kingship. He says, "The earth is the Lord's." It's his, all of it, fullness. If you're a lord, it denotes ownership, because he says the earth is the Lord's. The word Lord here denotes ownership, so I'm not talking about lordship in the context or from an earthly perspective of being lorded over or controlled over or having a heavy burden like kings and rulers of the earth. Jesus said his kingdom is different. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So lordship actually denotes ownership. We're talking about owning something. And here the Lord owns the earth and the fullness of the earth, the world and those who dwell in therein. So here he's talking about lordship in the terms of ownership. So I don't want to get the two confused, because if I start, you know, if I don't know, I don't think any of you guys think that way, but if I was teaching that maybe somebody hasn't said under the new creation series and all these identity series and all this, they might think of kingship and lordship as something evil, something burdensome. You watch movies, you know, and anytime they always had the kings who lived high on the hog and the peasants that, you know, scraped to try to get by, and they lorded over them and they took from them and whatever. This isn't the kingdom. That may be an earthly kingdom, and that's kind of how the government itself kind of runs, but we live in a different kingdom, God's kingdom. And so I want to see the difference here. We're talking about lordship in the terms of ownership. So when we say lords, it's in the context of what you own. I'm not just talking about Jesus, because as I teach this, as we're looking at this, you may be thinking about Jesus. That's the place where we will miss it sometimes and not quite grasp it. It's because when we teach about Jesus and we teach about Christ and all this, we're always thinking about him, the Lord, Jesus. But don't leave yourself out, because he says he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we're talking about you. I'm talking about me and you as lords. We own something, okay? Ownership. Psalms 24, 3-5 says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Who has clean hands and a pure heart? Who has not lifted up a soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully?" Now, he's talking about lordship in this. Actually, this talks about a whole bunch of different things, because I've taught several different ways out of this chapter. But it goes on to say, who can ascend to this place of lordship, union, heirship and ownership with the Lord? What he owns, we own. What he is heir to, we are heir to. What he is in union with, we are in union with, because we are one with him. It describes who can. You may think, well, then that's not me, because it talked about who he has clean hands, pure heart, all this kind of stuff. But the Lord goes on to say in verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So what does that tell you? Then that qualifies you through his blessing of righteousness and salvation, because you are made righteous because he is righteous. You are made holy because he is holy. Therefore, you are not discredited. You are not disqualified to be one who can stand in a place of lordship and kingship. I really wanted to point that out. And Psalms 24:7 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." You are a gate and a door. There is a gate and a door within you. The door within you is Christ, and you are a gateway that releases heaven on earth. Christ, the glory. And the word lift means to arise, raise, stir up, wear, or to yield. It also means to awaken. The head means to shake. It's of a place of time or rank, beginning, captain, chief. I got all these words, but it's the spirit of humankind. It's our spirit man. So he says to lift, to raise up, to stir up, to wake up the spirit of the human, of our, of who we are. That kainos being is awakened, and therefore the gates will open. As we awaken to who we are as a kainos supernatural being, is basically what it's saying, then those gateways will open up. Meaning a city, a port within you. And Matthew 5:14 says that we are a city on a hill. As our gateway opens, as we awaken to that kainos being position of Christ, then that gateway begins to open up. And then the word everlasting means properly concealed. It's a vanishing point. It's a time out of mind, soul, and flesh. It's eternity, eternal. Ancient, which is our spirit man, the beginning of, it's the beginning of, comes from the veil from sight, or that hidden self, or that secret place. So when he's saying that, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, your everlasting doors, that is speaking of that place from above, where we're seated, where Christ is in us, that ancient place, that place from the foundations of the world, Christ, kainos, it just consumes all of that, if that makes sense. It's that place of the hidden man of the heart. And then these doors will open an entrance way, a breaking forth, an appearing, as Colossians 3:4 says, that when Christ appears, we will appear with him. And so when we choose to live from that position of who we are, that kainos being position, that's where Christ is appearing, and we appear with him as well. And that's where we can release the glory, the gateway, the portal, establish heaven on earth. I don't know, it can kind of sound a little, I didn't know whether to go into all that or not and break all that down, but I want to look at something here. David was telling us to stir up, to arise, and yield to the King of glory coming into us. That's what he was telling us to do. And setting up his kingdom within us. He has set his kingdom up within us. And for us to take our place in his kingdom. And that was what he was telling us in Psalms 24:7, as when it says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, your everlasting doors. Because the King of glory, his kingdom has come to be established within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I don't want us to forget that we are lords. Let's go look at Galatians 4. And I didn't write this down, but I want to share this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 says, now I say that the heir, if he, whatever he's heir of, we're heir of, right? I just shared that. So now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, let me go up into 3, because then that'll make sense what I'm reading. Starting with 3, Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We are all sons, sonship. It's a position. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now you have, you are now that kainos being, new creation being. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are one, you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I really needed to read all that first, didn't I? Then Galatians 4:1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, that means a place of immaturity, we're wanting to mature, all creation's crying out for the maturing of the sons of God. So he, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is Lord of all. So I want you to hear that. It doesn't matter what stage you're at in your walk, you are Lord. You are a Lord. And you're Lord of all, just like he said, that's a place of ownership. Psalms 24 said that he is Lord of all the earth. We are lords right along with him. We are heirs right along with him. We just read it. There's no denying it. Even though we may be at an immature stage, we are still a Lord. Then it goes on to talk about being in a place of being tutored and whatever. And we taught on the seven spirits of the God before the throne are our tutors and mentors. But I wanted you to see that we are Lord no matter what. No matter what stage of maturity we are walking in, we are Lords. Let's go look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." I want us to look at something because this is where we can miss it in our religious Christian faith, is that we're looking for Jesus to return to be established as king. Or me growing up all my life, I thought of Jesus, when he returned, he was going to establish his kingdom, all that kind of stuff. You know, if you just have different thoughts on this. So I wanted to clarify something here, and I don't think any of you guys have any issues with this, but it's in here, just in case we had somebody that didn't. Where is he who has been king, is what they were asking. Where is he who has been born what? King. They were asking where is he who will become king? They weren't asking that. Let me get this right. They were not asking, where is he who will become king? They weren't asking that. Now, these are the, let me see. What did they call him? It was the, now Jesus, blah, 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 the wise man. I got so many things going on in my head. It was the wise men. They followed the signs. They knew that there was a king being born in the earth, a king being born. Not going to be king, but a king being born. So they weren't asking, where is he who will become king? Or he who is going to come and establish a kingdom on the earth and whenever, you know? Or where is the one that all of us have been waiting for to come and eventually set up dominion on the earth? Now, if you get the mindset of what I'm trying to say here, that's why they missed Jesus when he came, because a lot of them had this mindset. We can have this mindset now. Religion can cause us to have this mindset right now, and we can miss the fact that he is already a king. Even now, in this time, in our life, if you think that's hard. If you was to really look at religion, they're still looking for him to be established as king when you get right down to the nitty-gritty of it. No, they were saying, where is he who is born king? When you give your life to Christ, you are born into his kingdom. You're born into the kingdom. It's not going to be an established kingdom. That's the reason I want to stress this, because religion says you're waiting for a kingdom when you go to heaven. You're waiting for the kingdom of heaven. It's always delayed. If we're waiting for that, then what was the purpose of him to even die on the cross and whatever, you know, because it's something that we're just waiting and waiting on. It's not something that is coming. It's something that is here, that is right now. The problem is that we are still in our human citizenship. We're living out of who we are on the earth. Some people identify with their tribe. Some people identify with their religion. Some people identify out of whatever country they're citizens of or whatever. And we're not living out of our citizenship in heaven. Now, we can find that even happening right now. Politically, we can find that. We're living out of the governing body of the earth right now. Each country, you can see even each country how they're doing it. If we're truly a king and a Lord, and we're truly the ecclesia, a governing body of the kingdom of heaven, and we're seated in it right now, we're living out of that kainos, Christ-like creation being, then we are in a different kingdom. Because if we do this, it would cause us to approach even all the things that are released about how they're saying you have to accept this new norm. There's no new norm if you're that kainos creation being. You can lord and you can govern over it. We can be king. We can subdue, and we can release the glory, and as it is in heaven on earth, that's our place to do that. And that's why the whole body, wherever you're positioned at, I'm not going to sit here and try to have dominion and rule and reign and govern over Washington, D.C., or over, well, we do it together as a body, let's say over someplace in another state or another country. I'm positioned here. I'm seated here. God placed me here, so I need to govern and lord and be the ecclesia here. And then when we ascend, actually, when we pray, we ascend, we go in, then we can join the whole body of Christ, the governing body, in the kingdom of heaven, and we can be one voice to govern, and we can govern over things over the whole United States together. But he's positioned us in cities and towns and in states, whatever, for us to govern and lord here. We need to make sure you're in the natural realm, that you are covering, that there's a governing body that lines up with the kingdom of heaven, if that makes sense, or that you're speaking as it is in heaven, that you're establishing what it should be like in your area. And we see the body awakening to this, and starting to move in this, and starting to govern in the heavens, in the natural realm. So the problem is that we are still in our human citizenship, not our citizenship in heaven, not understanding we were born again into a kingdom. Born again into a kingdom. Let's look at Philippians 3:20. I'm almost done, guys. Sorry. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." As we sit there, and that word wait actually can mean to serve. So you're not sitting there like, well, Jesus, come on. No. Now we are positioned with him. We wait upon him like you're at a round table and you wait upon, and or you're in a, if you understand the courts in a kingdom, how they wait upon each other. In other words, there's stuff happening there, if you understand how, or even if you would look in the natural and see how legislation and stuff like that happens. You're not setting, well, maybe they do sit and piddle their thumbs. That's why nothing's happening. But we won't go there with that. We'll get off on a rabbit trail. Anyhow, Ephesians 2:19. It's not supposed to work that way. Ephesians 2:19. "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." That's pretty powerful. Hebrews 12:22 says that we are now, I've read that one so many times, I should be able to quote it. We've come to, there is 12, verse 22. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." And it goes on to say who all you're with. But that's what you've come into. It's not something that is going to happen. It has already happened. Don't let it be delayed. See, we have spent, religion has caused us to wait and wait and wait and wait and be delayed. And oh, I wish that God would do something about this, when he's saying, I wish you would do something about this because you're a king and you're a Lord. And then you're like, God, please. And he's like, would you act like a king and a Lord? Would you release some decrees? You know, because it's, he's waiting on us. We're all praying and asking for God to do it. He says, I've already done it. I've given you, I've returned back to you your dominion and your authority, your kingship, your lordship. Do something. Do it. Speak. Yeah. Your words are creative. Your thoughts are creative. The problem with so many is that we have missed this simple truth. But he is the King of Kings. And when we realize that, and that's who we realize we're seated in, and that he rules and reigns, and we rule and reign with him, then we realize that government and authority has been established in us, yeah, as kings and lords, and we move in that place of kingship and lordship, then we are establishing within us and in the earth and upon the earth through our kingship, through our lordship, through our legislation, through governing. The kingdom of God is not coming in a future date. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right now. And let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Part of the reason it's good to release these, because I know you guys know these, but if we release this, we're also releasing in the supernatural realm. Who's listening in that realm? Powers, mights, dominions, all those things that we have authority over, God has given us authority over, they're hearing that. We're reestablishing, so it's okay to release these into the spiritual realm. Matthew 3 verse 2 says, "Repent." Jesus said, well, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of it is at hand.'" John the Baptist was saying this. He wanted us to repent. The word repent means change your mind. It doesn't mean, oh God, forgive me. You know, it's not penance like you, when they go, when they do things to themselves to try to earn acceptance into the kingdom. But repent means to change the way you think. The reason he was saying repent, we translated it repent, but he was actually saying change the way you think, because it's no longer the kingdom of law. Now it's the kingdom of heaven because Jesus has come. But when they translated the word repent, we turned that into something else and be like, you have to repent. You have to be penitent. You have to be in a place of sorrow and whatever. And, you know, he wasn't going around saying that. Be sorrowful for your sins. That is something that you don't want to be happy about if you in that. But the word, what he was saying is change the way you're thinking. Get out of the old law mindset, because that's getting ready to pass away. Because Jesus is coming and establishing that old government rule of law and kingdom is passing away, of the old priest and how it was run, and now a new kingdom and government is being established. Jesus has come, and it's being established. It's at hand. It's right now. And that's actually what he was saying. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, now this is Jesus this time. John the Baptist said the last one. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Right now, it's here among you. I'm walking among you. Repent. Change your mind. Quit thinking out of the old kingdom governmental rule of the law. And he says, and believe in the gospel. That means in Matthew 2 that Herod just lost his throne. If we go back to Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2, that old kingdom, that it would also mean that the priest of their time lost their governmental rule. Their kingdom rule, their lordship rule. They lost their throne of authority. It means the government changed because why? Jesus was born. He was born a king. And he came as a king. He didn't come and waiting for somebody to crown him as king. And that's where they missed it, because they wanted somebody that they were going to establish a kingdom and crown as king. And then they were going to subdue and take the land and whatever. They missed it. Well, we can miss it now because we still are living in a citizenship of our earth, of the government and rule of the earth, or the citizenship of a denomination, citizenship of a religion. Now, think about some religions where they're totally, that's what they live out of, ruled and reigned by it, living out of a citizenship of a country or whatever, you know. And we can miss that Jesus has already come. And the kingdom's already established. And when you ask him into your life, now you live in a new kingdom, a new government, in lordship, dominion. Jesus always superseded the government of the world in the signs, wonders, and miracles demonstrated. He always superseded the government of the world. That's who we are. We can do the same thing. We should be superseding the government of the world. We should be superseding the government of this physical body, because the government of the body wants to overrule the government of our kainos being, if we're thinking even of ourselves. We should be superseding the government of our physical being. Where do you think you're living? Under whose kingdom and under whose authority are you living from? We can look at that in the government of the world, the ruling system of the world and everything. We can also look at that from our physical being as well. Are we living under the government and rule of our physical body and our soul? Or are we ruling and living from the government of our kainos being? Same thing with the world. Are we living from the government rule of this physical world? Or are we living from the government rule of the kingdom of heaven? So there's different ways. That's why I'm saying it's deep where we can go with this. We are under the government of God. We are in a kingdom that is not of the earth. Revelation 19:16 again says that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. We are born again into an established kingdom. We're not waiting for the kingdom of heaven to be established. We're not waiting to die and be a part of the kingdom of heaven. It's now. It's with a reigning king. We have a reigning king. He is king, and he's king of kings. So you're a king, you're a lord. We are joint heirs with Christ, and those scriptures confirm that we are joint heirs with him. So, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father, that we are awakened to the truth that we are kings, we are lords, we are priests. We are now lords, that the kingdom of heaven is right now. And we're living from that place of Christ within us. We are living from the kingdom of heaven. And that, Father, we ask that your spirit, that Holy Spirit, you will remind us, you will quicken us, that our spirit man will be awakened, that we will begin ruling and reigning from that place of lordship and kingship, that we will rule and reign and have dominion over this earthen vessel, over this body, over this soul man, our mind, our will, our emotions, that we change the makeup of who we are and how we live and how we dwell in the earth. And I thank you, Father God, that we will govern and legislate not only over our physical kingdom, our triune kingdom, but also over the kingdom of the earth, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for this awakening within us, for your truth being established within us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.